Punch this, and punch this. And if you say any naughty words, I'll have to edit. Oh, we can let Katie in. Katie's allowed in. Now that we've punched the button, I told them they can't say any naughty words.
No, no, we'll be good, don't worry.
No, don't. No, don't. Okay, so let's start with the important stuff after you take a sip of that water made by Coca-Cola. That's spring water from the ground, from the Coca-Cola grounds.
Indeed is.
Yeah, it is. Wow. So, there you go. Welcome to America. Cheers.
Cheers.
Introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Peanut.
And I'm Simon.
And you're from what band?
We are from Kaiser Chiefs.
Kaiser Chiefs. I think I've heard of them. I think my audience has heard of them. Okay, this is going to be just so appropriate that you're dressed in... You know. So, Pork Pie Hats, Doc Martens, Madness, The Clash, Dexys, Blur. Do you read your own press in The Enemy?
Yes.
You too?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who was it? Was it Dogs Die in Hot Cars, Katie, that we had in here? And when I mentioned NME, they just said, you don't read that, do you?
It's cool. It's good reading your own press. I think
it's good when they like you anyway.
It keeps you on the right track sometimes.
For the moment they like you. I think that's the problem. Is I think for a moment they didn't like Dogs Die in Hot Cars, and that's where the problem occurred.
Yeah, some bands I think have a love hate.
They get on a tear with them, then it just continues.
Yeah.
But I think that sells more records.
Yeah, somehow I reckon it does.
And probably, you know, a little controversy is kind of a good thing. So are you reading it, you think every band in England is the next Clash?
Yeah.
Is every band in England the next Clash?
I don't know. I think at the moment there's a big sort of, there's a British sort of revival, you know, the whole...
It's incredible, isn't it?
Classic British thing. I think this is the next thing that's coming around. And a lot of bands, I think, have reached the same frustration point and then reached the same sort of natural conclusion to go back to what we do best in Britain, which is writing pop songs.
What a concept.
Yeah. It worked.
Songs, I remember those.
It's worked before, hasn't it? So I think it can work again.
You think it could work?
I think so.
Some people in the past have succeeded at that?
I think, yeah. There's guys from Liverpool. What were they called?
Yeah, I was going to go there, but you know, they're not hip anymore. Who are they?
The Merseybeats.
They've not released anything for a while.
You're referring to Jerry and the Pacemakers. Undoubtedly. A lot of people hearing this interview have only heard one song. Okay, two, since, as I mentioned to you, I cheated and played Oh My God a couple of weeks ago.
Naughty boy.
But bad. But you've said, the police are coming. The bobbies are coming, as you would say. But you've said that you have a classic British sound. So Beatles, Zombies, Stones, Lonnie Donegan, you know, a classic British sound, to me, is all of that kind of put together. Is that kind of the story?
All that and more, like all the decades, not just 60s British sound, but 70s British sound, which, I don't know, Clash, and I don't know, 80s and 90s Specials, Madness, Blur.
Yeah.
Help me out.
I got back to like Kinks and stuff like that. A lot of people identified XTC in his somehow, which is quite interesting. It crops up more than once, so...
I can hear a little making plans for Nigel. It's in there.
A few people said that. So,
it's in there.
And it's great being, it's very flattering really. You know, people spotting all the classic bands and saying, hey, you sound a bit like this, you sound a bit like that. But they never say, you sound like this band. They say, oh, I heard a bit of this in this song, or a bit of that in this song. But never, you know.
But that's always, good.
They can never put the finger on exactly what it is. And I think that's because we have reached our own sound.
Exactly. What a concept.
Yeah.
No, that's good, because the second that you are the next whoever it is.
Yeah, that's a bit tainted that sometimes, can't you?
But it's interesting, because I predict a riot on in the car just as I was driving home last night. And, you know, I play it and I listen to it as I'm doing the radio show, but I really listen to it. And it was the first time that I really noticed that, you know, there were synthesizers and tambourines and a lot of that, you know. It's not that that's not hip, but that definitely does lead to a certain sound, as opposed to just crunching guitars. And even the opening guitar intro, you know, it sounds like a police car going down the street. And that's a tribute to everybody. You're going to kill me for this, but you know, it's everybody from Paper Lace to The Clash. You know, it's The Night Chicago Died meets The Clash, and it's all kind of put together in this. It's a very commercial stew, but you can listen to it again and again and again, and isn't that the point?
I think we like sort of, we have a sound, but we like making, you know, without going overboard and lots of instruments and stuff, we make the best of what we've got and what we can play live. And I think, you know, like, the guitar, sort of, after it's a riot, it's very sort of spooky sort of sound. And it's just, it's little character things like that I think people pick up on.
But it's smart because hooks sell. And one of the things, not even on my official question list, that I ask everybody who comes in here, and there have been a lot, and I always like asking the more independent side this, you know, it's like, aren't you in this to sell records? Don't you want your music to be heard? As opposed to the current thing is, well, no, man, I just want to make music.
Yeah, it is.
No. I just want to starve, you know?
Yeah, we want to have a top three album.
Yeah. We're not in it for the money, but we're in it to sell records and for people to hear it. Like, it's really,
if
really
you,
good.
If, you're not, if the people don't hear it, yeah. Why are you doing it?
Yeah, we're definitely from the camp. We want to reach as many people as possible and play, you know, big arenas and stuff, yeah, and sell lots of records because it makes it more fun.
Exactly. So let's not go into the history of the name unless you want to, but people can go on the web and they can read that in a bazillion magazines. But I think one of the things that's different in England than the States is that we pick hit songs and we make them the theme for our sports teams. You write songs for the team and they become big hits.
That's it.
It's different. We do. We'll pick a hit song, whatever it may be, and we say that's, and we attach it to a sports team. Right. You, on the other hand, will do a song about the Leeds team or about whoever it is, and suddenly that becomes the rallying cry and gets to number one on the BBC for a few weeks.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
your dedication to football is different than ours.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I mean, the song itself isn't sort of it. I mean, it wasn't done as a dedication to a football team stuff. The attachment to the football team comes from the name. When we were looking for a name about a year and a half ago, then somebody suggested Kaiser Chiefs, and they'd read it somewhere in a magazine and said, "What about this?" And we were looking for a name, and it was kind of, yeah, we're like, we'd been through loads of names. I can't remember any of the old names, but it's like, oh yeah, half us liked it, half us didn't. And then we got to Kaiser Chiefs, it's like, yeah, that's a good name. And then we found out about the attachment of the South African football team to Lucas Radebe, who now plays for Leeds in his final season at Leeds now. And that was a nice tie-in with us being from Leeds. And so that's more of sort of how the name came about.
If all else fails, about to tell a joke, if all else fails, as a nice Jewish boy from New York, sometimes you can get a sandwich on a thing called a Kaiser roll, which is a soft roll with little black seeds on it. So if all else fails, and say the East Coast doesn't pick up as well as the West Coast has on your music, you could be the Kaiser Rolls, and you'll have nice Jewish girls all over America going crazy over you.
I'll remember that.
Would you do that? The Kaiser Rolls. Okay, you've toured with Dogs Die in Hot Cars, who we had on the show a while back, and The Ordinary Boys, who we play a lot on the show. And what's interesting to me is what a great, you know, opening bunch of groups to tour with, because stylistically, you tie together very well. The Ordinary Boys is kind of the harder side and the rockier side.
Yeah, a little bit,
and
yeah.
The Dogs Die are even poppier than you are.
Yeah, that's right.
But their lyrics, are pretty deep, though.
Yes.
That's the great thing about Dogs Die is you listen to them and then you start listening to the lyrics and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, they're great.
But it was a nice place for you to be.
Yeah, it was a great tour because they had three good British bands.
We were still unsigned when we went on that tour. We like
right, exactly. That's why I brought it up. You weren't signed at that point.
Preston, the Ordinary Boys singer, he saw us. We did a gig with them, just one gig in Leeds. He saw us and he like kind of demanded that we be on that tour. And that really helped us to get our deal finally, because then we signed to the same record label as them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a good tour.
Leeds, when you formed, was going through a major garage rock phase, and you went out of your way to reform yourself, because, you know, you guys have been chaps and been together since, what, high school?
Yeah,
you know, long time.
Various bands.
But various bands,
stuff,
but you purposely went out of your way to think about what you wanted to be and what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And formed yourself as the antithesis, big word there, of, I don't believe I even got that out of my mouth, but the opposite of pretty much everybody else and what they're doing.
Yeah, well, the whole country was very much influenced by the whole garage sort of rock scene, all these bands coming over from the US. And we, in previous bands.
The Strokes
bands,
and the Yeah.
We toured a few of them, played with a few of them, and then when you exposed it so much in the NME and stuff like that, yeah, then you think, oh, that's what, we'll make a band like that and we'll start that, and it just didn't work. And then it was like, right, we'll go back to square one, we'll scrap all the old songs, and that's when this British sort of angle.
That's pretty brave, though, and it's also
very. But it's natural as well.
But it's good marketing. It's smart. No,
I don't think we were thinking about the marketing at that point. But
I think you were.
It seems like everybody. It's it's kind of what everybody wants now, I think. Yeah, everybody's actually looking forward to it. And it's, for us, it's just something completely
maybe
natural.
Maybe the time
to
was right, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of bands, we used to like bands like the Zootons, I can see you've got the Enemy open over there. And it's, I think a lot of bands reach the same frustration with the English music scene or British music scene
and
at the
noise.
Same point.
Bring back the music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's, so that's why you've got these people like Franz Ferdinand, Zootons, you know, Old New Boys, and there's that are now sort of leading this Britpack sort of revival, yeah.
The Britpack, I like that. give me a Britpack. I Predict a Riot is kind of a true story. I'm so jealous that you had the name of the club, Pig. What a great name! What a great name for a club. I want to go to Pig tonight. I want to go dancing at Pig. But it's such an infectious tune. I don't think it's going to cause a riot on the dance floor. I don't think anybody's going to be fighting after they hear that tune.
No, it's more of a
It's the friendliest
it's
tune
more, yeah,
about a riot I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's turned out more of a party sort of tune. It's not meant to be sort of a violent song.
Because you know,
not us, but
when you see us live, it's kind of more of we're not a party band, but it's more fun than it is a riot. Do you know what I mean?
Do you have KC of the Sunshine Band coming out and doing a little?
I can open up,
warming up for us and stuff.
Yeah, there you go, the fireworks and flares.
Yeah,
and
that.
Okay, let's go back to the question that I should ask at the beginning of the interview. I alluded to it, but mates since school. Mm-hmm. So did you guys just say, oh, well, here we all together, we like music, let's form a band, or?
Yeah, various things, wasn't it? It was like me and Simon, and then Nick, our drummer, who's not here at the moment. We were at school since we were 11 in the same class. And then as you grow up, you know, you start, I started playing the drums, but then I switched to guitar, and then I now play keyboards and stuff like that. So everyone, it's not really a band, it's just a group of friends playing instruments as loud as they can in the room. When you're at school.
I like that. So, group of friends playing instruments as loud as they can in a room.
Yeah. So, and then as you reach sort of later on, you know, like sort of 16, 17, 18, you actually form a band, sort of trying to sort of start writing songs instead of playing like Johnny B. Goode covers and stuff like that, you know?
A lot of early bands were just doing, covers of like, we did like lots of soul covers and stuff like that. And then we did other bands that were heavier and just kind of, it was a kind of learning experience of learning to be in a band. It was only when we were much
older. Sounds like the Commitments.
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys did the Commitments that you put out.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy's looking for a horn player.
We had saxes and trumpets and I don't know if we had anything else. Like, it was a bit like the Commitments, yes.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's okay, because now when you reach the point we're at now, then we know how to play in a band. You know, you get some Cas Chiefs 18 months, but the actual our musical experience is together. Have been many more years than that. So when we're on stage and stuff, it just feels natural. So we don't have to worry about what we're doing on stage, and that lets us sort of, keep the party going.
Exactly. So when I played Oh My God, I mentioned it on the air that it was that I was one of the first, probably the first in the States playing it, several other DJs immediately got on my case and said that they had played it well over a year ago. And then, of course, when we did our deep, dark investigation, we realized that was your first demo song, was it not?
Yeah.
And that Riot came out after that. But
that's
now
right. That's
going to be in February, the new single.
Yes.
So how bizarre does that kind of feel, that the song that you used as your demo to get in wasn't the song that became the... Well, you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting... But mind you, I Predict a Riot certainly is, in my opinion, better intro song to get someone into a band. Oh My God challenges you a little bit more.
Right.
We just wrote Oh My God before, it was written a long time before I Predict a Riot, and we just recorded it in our bedrooms and houses and stuff. It was a properly DIY demo.
Right.
But when we were trying to get a deal, we needed to release an indie single, so those demos became that indie single.
So how about this hot producer that you're working on this new album? Have you finished the album already?
We have, yes. Yeah, it's finished.
So tell me about this hot producer
you've been working with. Well, we worked with two producers.
Ah, okay.
We worked with a guy called Steve Harris, who over here is with the Dave Matthews Band, who I believe are quite popular over here.
I'm sorry.
And also amongst the likes of U2 and Santana.
Dave Matthews is like the Grateful Dead used to be. It's like very cult. People, people are either in, either Dave Matthews, yes. Dave Matthews,
no.
No.
Right, okay. Well, he's cool.
But he sold a lot of records.
We did half the album with him. And then half the album with Stephen Street,
right?
Who's worked with Blur and the Smiths and also Graham Coxon, sort of solo stuff. And working with both of them has been amazing. Like, it's really, we've recorded lots in the past and kind of like demos have been hit and miss or the vibes not being right in the room. And with these two guys, it was just, we have the songs. We toured them a lot, which helped, you know, touring with the Ornery Boys for like, I don't know, 40 odd dates we probably did with them. So that helped hone the songs down. When we got to the studio, it was just a dream, you know, working with them both.
I'm going
to
do the progressive DJ thing. Tell me the difference between the two producers. What was the difference in their styles, their workings?
I don't know.
What tracks they liked?
Stephen Street.
Your relationship with them. What drinks you had together.
Well,
Stephen Street's more ordered. He knows what he wants and how to get it, if you know what I mean.
He's very slick.
Yeah, really slick and really, really easy to work with. But things are done kind of separately, but very quickly. Whereas Steve Harris is more of a vibe merchant in that he would get
Think of who they've produced. You know, Blur, right? Blur has to be multi-tracked and the reverb has to be exactly and, you know, all of that. And then there's Dave Matthews, like, wow, man, cool. So, yeah. So it kind of makes, the style makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear the album, you'll, hopefully they won't stand out which one it is, but when you read the notes stuff and you'll see who's done which ones, it might give you.
Is it sequenced in a way that it kind of bounces between them, or?
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. It's quite weird. I think the album's almost in two halves, apart from one song. But that wasn't intentional. That was just like the way it felt to sort of make the running order, you know. So I think the album still sounds coherent as which is the important thing, you know. No matter how many producers you work with, as long as we put out an album that says Kaiser Chiefs and sounds like Kaiser Chiefs, then.
Did you get the urge to do the I Predict a Riot remix, the super duper? Has anybody offered to do the 7-minute, 12-inch single disco remix?
I think there's going to be, there's bound to be some on the way, but not as yet.
We're interested.
Yeah, yeah. It's always good, because it's quite good. You often cross over into sort of other territories, you know. If you get a good sort of housey dance mix or something, you can often turn the people, you know, who listen to that's the music on a Friday, Saturday night sort of thing, yeah? You can often turn them actually onto the band in our normal sense as well, which is always great because you win more fans. Yeah.
No, I think it's terrific, except that now I've just heard about 12 remixes of Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode, and every one of them are just somebody just decided that their ego was out of control.
It's done it by numbers.
Enjoy, 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 enjoy. And it goes on for 12 hours, and you're thinking, okay, come on, yeah. It wasn't their best song ever. You didn't need to do that.
Yeah, there's no need to keep doing this.
Exactly. So last year we talked about this, you know, off the air, so to speak. But last year at South by Southwest, hundreds of people were left outside, unable to get into a gig by this yet unsigned in the States band, Franz Ferdinand. I think we've heard of them by now.
I think a little bit of buzz.
I've read
their name somewhere.
Yeah, but the difference with the Kaiser Chiefs is that now you're going to be coming to South by Southwest for the big, you know, major America coming out party, so to speak. And you're already signed to a major label. So what's that gonna feel like? Because you don't have to go there and sing for your supper now.
Yeah, it's gonna be great, I think, because I mean, basically we've done two shows in the States so far.
Right, which I'll get to in a second. Yep.
Yeah, and they've been great. So I can only hope that they're gonna get better, and there's gonna be lots of people going a little bit mental at the shows, maybe, you know, jumping around and stuff, because they'll have heard, you know, the songs on the radio.
Well, by then, Riot will be in the top five on top 40 radio stations.
Hopefully.
DJs will be like, that was I Predict a Riot by the Kaiser Chiefs.
That'd be great. And then I think, yeah, because the album's out on March the 15th over here as well.
Is it?
Yeah, which will be in
Talk about good timing.
Yeah, South by Southwest is literally the week after, isn't it? Or is it that week? It's that week.
Yeah.
So
brilliant.
That couldn't work out better, I don't think.
Brilliant marketing timing.
Yeah, not bad.
Okay, so you were at Spaceland in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And already the NME had the little bulletin saying sold out, crowds went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, the NME tells everything exactly as it is.
Entirely as it is.
You know, what they had is they had a phone held up, and the reporter from the NME was there hearing the sold out crowd going crazy. So now tell me from your perspective, did the sold out crowd go crazy?
No, it was really, really good.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Yeah,
we got told all day that it was going to be bad and not to expect too much and to forgive
LA. Did you really?
LA and
yeah,
all this
we,
kind
we
of stuff.
Got told that the crowds were sort of quite conservative, you know, yeah, not sort of, you know, stood there nodding their head.
A lot of plastic surgery, so they can't move that
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. They might be enjoying it, but they can't smile.
You know, they're trying to smile, but they're like, can't do it.
But yeah, but they went, there's people just, yeah. Like little groups of people just jumping around and stuff, yeah, and we came back on, did another song.
And yet, there is no possibility, as far as I know, that they could have heard more than two of your songs.
Probably not, no.
Right?
maybe the Take My Temperature is the B-side of...
Right, Take My Temperature is the B-side of the single.
All right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But that's it.
Yeah, I mean, so some songs people might have got demos in the
early
days.
See, it's right here. I've got it right there. See, Take My Temperature and, oh my God, there it is. So my question is, they never heard the songs before. And, you know, that sing-along thing with I Predict a Riot, you know, you can always say, I predict a riot, and, you know, they're doing that. But what about the songs they didn't? Were they going, you know, trying to hum along with lyrics they never heard before?
I think, I don't know, just the style that we play is quite poppy, yeah? So it's easy to dance around, tap your feet, clap your hands, whatever, you know? It's easy to do all that.
We've always found at gigs, we've had gigs where we've played a new song that only we've heard. We've never played at a gig before. And you'll see someone singing the words and you just think, oh, how, there's no way you could know the words.
Well, I mean, but I'm pretty right. They can go la, 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 la.
Yeah,
You know, by the second verse, they probably could do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I know what's coming next.
I know that word. That's cool. Any good stories about the crowd in L.A.? Because you mentioned they weren't as bad. So let's talk about that. They weren't as bad as you thought they would be.
No, everyone told us they were going to be awful.
People, I can't remember who told
us. What's the word? What exactly did they tell you that they were going to do? Like stand there like statues?
One person just said, forgive us for L.A. crowds. The rest of America's not like that.
Yeah.
That's a great T-shirt. The rest of America is not like L.A.
But
the rest of America is not like Chelsea, you know?
That's about right.
No, jumping around and singing along and just clapping loudly. And
did anybody do anything strange? Did anybody like call out and scream out a song that wasn't yours or something?
No, I think that
Lounger.
Yeah.
No, that's the other band.
No, I think everything was quite normal, really. Yeah, it was just it felt like doing a gig back at home, really. That's what it felt like, which was great for our first trip to the US. You know,
that's terrific.
Yeah, that was a real boost for us. You know. Because we're a bit worried, you know, come over here and you're thinking, well, what's going to happen for the early shows? You know, you're not sure.
Exactly.
And we're very happy. It's turned out well.
We did get asked what cover it was that we did, and we didn't do any covers.
Yeah, somebody said, you played a cover, right?
Yes, we played a cover of the Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah, you might have heard it on the radio, but it's our song, yeah?
we played a cover of ours. Yeah. Wouldn't that be a funny thing? We're going to do a cover now, and then we'll just play I Predict a Riot backwards. That's a funny story. You play a cover. Did you set out on this album to, I mean, the interesting thing about albums in the old days is, you know, Elvis or whoever it is, Buddy, could have gotten 12 out of 12 hits if they wanted to out of an album. The Beatles, look how many singles they released off of any of their albums, you know. Did you set out to write hits? Would you like it if almost every song on this album lasted for 3 years and every song on this album became, you know, as big as I Predict a Riot will become?
Definitely. When we wrote the songs for this album, particularly because we had quite a lot of time to write it, we think the quality of the songs is really good. And there's for the single after Oh My God in England, there's like quite a lot of, there's three or four contenders for that next single because there's quite a lot of songs that are good. There's a few songs which are definitely album tracks, maybe three or four, like ones that are your favourite album track. But as maybe.
See, I'm unpopular in these quarters, particularly with my producer who's sitting right behind me, because Franz Ferdinand came out and it was Play Franz Ferdinand, and I heard Take Me Out and I said, okay. And then I listened to the rest of the album and I just couldn't find as many.
Right.
You know, I just couldn't find another Take Me Out on there. And that was just me. You know, maybe Michael was or something like that. But
This fight, I think it's ace. Yeah,
no, but it's an interesting thing because it was more challenging to me than I thought it was going to be, and yet, you know, live, it's a whole different game.
Yeah, it's still a great album. And then live, we've done a few shows with them in England, and they're just amazing. You know, every song from the album sort of turns out.
Was that a phone, by the way?
No. Oh, okay. That was a we'll play you an album song, a track to prove to you how many singles we've got on it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready to do that right here. By the way. I'm ready to see that. Cool. Amazing how that. You see how that opened up just like that?
Ready.
They can't see on the radio, but the CD player just went. Boom. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I reckon.
They've just pulled out the album. I'm liking this.
That's be good.
Side one, track one.
Side one, track one. I'll ask you. Okay, there he goes. Okay, you know what? We're just going to do that.
Okay, cool.
See, I have the ability to just punch a button here and do that.
Great.
So I think we're about a week. Is it legal for us to do this?
If we say yes, then I think it is.
I wonder who's going to cease and desist me for this.
Yeah, if the phone start ringing halfway through.
I'll just punch the button and we'll shut up.
Okay.
wants you, I mean it's sex. It makes me sick to think of you undressed. Since every day I love you less and less.
We never played that. Nobody in the U.S. ever heard that. I do not have the album in my hands. That was not a sneak preview. There was nothing there. That was legally, because my our entertainment attorneys would tell us that the reason we played that was to prove a point.
That's right.
That I asked you a question about whether there were other hits on the record, and we were proving a point.
We thought it best to prove it with the songs rather than talk.
Right, right. So, but we didn't play that. No. Because we wanted to sneak a song from the album that won't be released till March on the air. We did not do that. Okay, good. Manager's sitting here. He's like, eh, whatever.
Whatever.
Single came out overseas, not even that long ago overseas. Is it amazing to you how fast a band can go from no one to number one these days? And I'm not saying you were no one, but I'm saying, does it blow you away that if something's infectious, that there is a Zane Lowe on the BBC, that there was, you know, God bless him, a John Peel, that there are a few of us over here that if we like something, we can still get away. I'm one of the few left that can get away with just saying, I like this, I'll play it. You know, the Beatles and Stones sweated out a lot longer back then. It was a lot harder back then.
Yeah, but no,
I mean, it's really hard now, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially coming over here as well. You know, it's nice enough having some success in England, which and hopefully it's just the start of it. But
we worked really hard ourselves, like the end of last year and the beginning of this year, really pushing ourselves. And so the stuff we got in England, we think is like the result of our hard work. Whereas the America thing is just like a bonus almost. But it's really, really good. We've been just here for 3 or 4 days. And the reaction, everyone's been amazing. Just everyone's just saying they love the record and stuff. It's just great.
And you're not on a, I'm going to get in trouble here, but you're not on a dinky label here in the United States. You're on Universal. You're on a big label with big, I mean, you just came from the Universal HQ here, and I've never been there, but they never invite me over for scones or anything.
Yeah.
But
we arrived, and because we didn't know where it was when we arrived, so we're here, yeah, and we sort of looked out the window, and there's a big picture of us in the window. And it was like, that's a picture of us in the Universal window. What's going on? And it was a great, you know, it was like an advert for the employment, you know, the LP that's coming out. And it suddenly sort of dawned on us, you know, quite.
It's like we're here.
The expectations almost of people, you know, people here is that it's actually going to be great, you know? So I can't wait to come back and play like more shows. Yeah.
And not to belittle it, you know, the NME scene or, you know, all of these bands, but, you know, I read that the Zootons made platinum in the UK, which is 300,000 units, you know, and here to go platinum, you know, is millions. So,
yeah.
So it is, you know, I guess the Beatles did always want to conquer America and always thought that was indeed a cool thing. Because again, you know, if you look in the gig guide, you know, in the back of this magazine, well, gosh, you can see pretty much everybody that you want to see that's here. Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that these people are really as big as we all think they are.
No. Because it's, yeah. Cause, I mean,
it's kind of a manufactured,
we
you know.
We were talking yesterday about to the head of music at K-Rock, who mm-hmm. started playing us, and he'd never heard it or he didn't know who Busted were, but in England, Busted are massive. And we're much smaller, and here we're officially bigger than Busted.
Right. Which, yeah, it's
not quite the same territory, but definitely nicer to be bigger than Busted. Yeah.
Do we know who Busted is?
I don't want to imagine.
I don't want to know.
Imagine
Blink-182.
Blink-182, but a boy band version of it. Yeah. Really squeaky clean.
Can you sing?
It's your kind of thing.
Can you sing any? Can you sing any lyric by Busted?
Just what
any,
I go to school for.
Yes, yeah, what I go to school for. Oh,
what I go to school for?
It's, honestly, you don't. If you haven't heard it, I'm glad you haven't heard it.
Just
I'm a busted. I'm a busted virgin, and it's a good thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'm going here. The look, pork pie hat, Doc Martens, and boy, I wrote this question. Okay, now look at this: stripy blazers. Joe Jackson meets who? Is this the way your mom's dressed you or what?
It's Carnaby Street.
Carnaby Street, yes, indeed. And I've just read an article. Right, exactly.
It's, I don't know, it's become enjoyable finding,
I mean, it is a tribute.
Finding clothes, that's a, it's an identity that we've
I wouldn't
got
know
now.
Anything about that.
It's just an extension
that's
of the music.
That's a nice shirt.
Yeah, it's my drug, I'm on drug shirt.
The music's really, we think it's really British, mainly. And like the look as well has been evolving. But
no,
it's
a tribute. It really is to the different decades, you know, of the English beat or the, you know, whatever it may be. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So your moms didn't dress you this way?
No. I actually got this suit on Melrose in LA for $30.
Wow.
Which I was quite happy at. So
on Melrose for $30?
Yeah.
Who'd you have to shoot? Oh, wait. Aardvark?
That's it. I don't know. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a second, yeah, just like vintage clothing store.
With tons and tons of stuff?
I think that's when we were trying to find, but we ran out of time.
Jet Rag or somewhere, but we couldn't. We ran out of road.
Yeah.
In LA, you run out of road a lot, and you want to run out of road in LA. Oops, it was an LA thing. Who taught you to play your instruments?
Was it total
self-taught?
Yeah, I mean...
Because you either have to go one way. We taught ourselves, or I went to the Juilliard School of Music. I studied jazz.
None of us went to sort of proper school lessons or anything.
My dad plays guitar, and he gave me the White Album, and he gave me Sgt. Pepper's, and he gave me the Beatles' complete songbook and a guitar, and told me to come back when I'd learned some songs.
Get out of here till you've learned something.
So I did. Rocky Raccoon.
So how did you guys get so tight? All kidding aside, because the thing... That happens an incredible amount. And you get the Monday comes and the big pile of CDs come in, and you only hear one of two things. You hear something this good and you get really lucky when you're me, or this is what you hear. And the drummer's over here, and the guitarist is over here, and the keyboard player's over there. And you don't think they've never been in the same recording studio, or if they have, boy, oh boy, I'm not really sure. And they're on a major label, and then your next thing you hear, they've sold a million records, and you start barfing. How'd you guys get so tight?
Just through playing.
Do you just like what you're doing, and is that it?
Yeah. I think we've, I don't know when it happened or at what point it happened, but we just sort of gelled, you know, we gelled together. And obviously, if you don't play for a while, you fall apart a little bit, and you play a couple of gigs and get back together. But it is, I think it's just from playing so many gigs together and rehearsing a lot. You know, with this last sort of year, I think we've been picking up, we spent a lot of time in rehearsal rooms just playing, you know, playing
songs.
So
you worked.
And honing the songs, yeah. And it's, yeah, hard work, and it's paid off because now we can't take for granted, but we go on stage, and the last thing we think about really is how tight we are, yeah? Because it just...
You're busy playing.
Yeah, we were busy playing, and it sounds great, yeah?
Me and Nick have been playing...
Back to the Commitments, that first rehearsal in the movie.
Well, yeah, me and Nick have been playing drum and bass in a non-dance way since we're, I don't know, for like 10 years, we've been the rhythm section. So it's quite easy to be tight.
Is it possible you're going to stay nice guys through all of this? Because you're nice guys, and not everybody that walks in here, you know, I won't even describe some of the people that aren't even at your level. You're like, well, you know, I don't really wish to answer that. I don't have... Oh. There's actually somebody recently that the answer to every question was, yes, no, I don't think so.
My that must have been a
great interview, boy. I'll tell you.
Yeah, that must have been a real blast. Though.
I'm going to get a mattress on the floor here and just... Okay.
Where's our
mattress? Now we get to have the three obvious questions. Now, you know, I'm not going to ask the being on the coolest questions, although I did read those. I've got that clip. Those some very funny answers in there, by the way.
Yeah.
Some very funny answers in there. But who's on... You're supposed to say who's on the iPod these days, but all kidding aside, you know, who else are you saying, wow, you know, there's some other really good stuff out there?
Like new bands? Sort of
yeah, like, yeah.
Like
Block I'm not going to do the who are your influences because we've done that.
Yeah.
We've done that to death.
Block Party are great. And Franz, they're not new enough, are they, anymore? I like them, but they're not new anymore.
Will their second album be as big?
I think it'd be much anticipated, probably. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got a lot to do, huh?
Yeah, lots to do, yeah. So I think that, well, we saw them in December, spoke to them, so I reckon we're they're taking some well-earned time off.
Yeah, that's been a whirlwind for them. Yeah. That's because they were only signed in the U.S. back at South by Southwest. Yeah. That was March. That was less than a year ago. That's kind of ridiculous when you think about it. You know,
yeah,
talking
it's
about
been, yeah,
a meteoric rise,
nine
so
months
to speak.
Since then, it's just been, yeah, I mean... I think they just spent the entire time on the road.
They were similar to us, isn't it? They just signed to an indie in England and no one really expected it to be as big. And
exactly. Exactly. So who else? Block Party?
What else we got?
Future Heads are good. We're going on that tour with Future Heads and Block Party and us.
Yeah, how about that? How about that cover of Kate Bush on that album? Have you heard that? The Hounds of Love on the Future Heads? It's pretty wild.
I've not heard that. I've got the album, but I obviously missed it.
Yeah.
You see, now that one's being that one's been released here for, I think I've had it for a couple of months, and I'm playing it, but people haven't quite gone. Not quite yet. Not maybe it's a little more challenging.
Maybe. I like I like their sounds.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I've seen them, Solomon Jules Holland. You know, the show in England.
Now, didn't I also read that you're doing a Tsunami thing?
Oh, we did that on.
Did
yeah,
you?
We came here on Sunday and we did that on Friday night before we left. And that was great. That was at a venue in Leeds where we've played quite a few times when we were trying to get signed and stuff. And that was, we raised loads of money and it was packed. You know, we were turning.
We had a nice, like, 200 people queue outside of people who couldn't get in for that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So it was great. Yeah, that was really good. Then we had a band, some friends of ours called Jules as well. They're from Leeds as well. And hopefully this is going to be a good year for them as well.
Cool. Who would you like to open for? If you could open for your dream bands, like the dream lineup. Glastonbury 2000 and...
The Beatles. The Beatles. I'd like to open for the Beatles. That'd be good.
Who would you like to open for that we can bring you?
Okay. I don't know. I'd like Blur. I mean, as much as you could bring us...
It's funny. The Graham Coxon. We played Spectacular here. We got the import single, and then literally yesterday, I've got the album that's been out for a while.
Yeah, the magazine.
And tracked it in the car on the way home. And I'm not going to play the track that everybody thinks I'm going to play. There's one that's kind of more mellow, but it's a really challenging album.
It's great. Yeah,
he really went all over the place.
Yeah, it's. I mean, because obviously, Stephen Street, did that as well. And
but it's not what I expected, which is really cool.
Okay. He started the next one now already.
Really?
Yeah.
My God, he's an aggressive boy.
Yeah, but no, it's a great album. Yeah, and it's a good album. It isn't just a good few singles.
No, it's good listening.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it.
It's kind of like a Beatles album in that there, you know, it's not that there's ballads and there's rockers, but there's all sorts of interesting things going
on. Some sweet little songs and stuff. Yeah, and then there's some proper just guitars all turned up full. You know, mm-hmm. And then he does that well.
Yeah, and it's and yet it's gritty, but it's clean at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's I think your sound does
not,
that
too. It's not
too
dark and garagey and sort of underground. It's definitely poppy still, but...
No, it gets to that loud level, but it's still pleasant to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a trick in itself.
I think he's worked out, he's sussed it out, I think.
So we have a little tradition on the show, and it's the last thing we always do in these interviews, and it always challenges people, and it makes it that much more fun. And then we will send you a copy of what we do. And you're like, no, we're not going to take naked pictures and try to retouch them. We call it the musical sandwich. And what we do is we ask you to pick two of your songs as the bread.
Okay.
And then you can pick whatever you want as the fillings.
Great.
And I can tell you that the challenges that I've had finding some of the fillings from certain people, it's been pretty cool. Joyful.
Okay.
So you get to pick.
How many fillings do we get?
As many. Let's see. How long was this interview? 40 minutes? Oh, you got a few. Because I also have been known, the way the show works is the first hour is artist interviews and the second hour is new music. But I've been known that if the fillings are good enough, I just invade my second hour because nobody's going to tell me that I can. That just becomes the beginning of the cool new music. Now, the question is whether they're going to pick I Predict a Riot and Oh My God as the bread or whether they're going to do something else that could get somebody in trouble. Oops, did I say that?
Yeah.
It also depends. Your record company probably wants you to pick I Predict a Riot as one of the breads,
right,
just on principle.
Yeah. No, definitely.
See, I went both ways there. I'm very politically correct.
Is that one already in the show? Or?
Well, what I will do is I will do that part. I always do that part live, so I will literally finish hitting the CD, and then I literally sit here as I'm doing the show, and I segue it live. So challenge me. Make me do really stupid stuff.
Okay.
Unless you've got something here that you want me to start it off with.
We've made a little list.
Look at this.
It's not. I want that.
You weren't in the Boy Scouts. Do they have Boy Scouts in England?
Yeah.
Are they called the Boy Scouts or are they called like the Boy Chaps? The Chap Scouts.
Could we put.
The what?
Cubs.
The Cubs.
Cubs, yeah.
Cubs. So you're like little bears?
Dress a bit like that.
No,
this is where the interview goes down the tubes, and we're not going to edit any of this. I like this way.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
We went. 25 Miles, Edwin Starr.
Oh, you rock.
Train the Vein by The Clash.
Keep going.
Training.
I'm liking this already.
Have you got Memphis Soul Street?
Mate, you moved. What are you doing? Come on, you're in a band.
I'm back.
He's in a band. And he's like, the microphone, where's the microphone? It's up there by the fan.
And Memphis Soul Street by King Curtis.
King Curtis, yes.
Yeah.
What about...
we got Stax, we got Tamla Motown, we got The Clash.
Madness.
That's
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Night Boat to Cairo by Madness. Yeah.
Okay.
That's four.
That's
four.
You can have more. They're conferring among themselves. Wait. They're in a huddle here. They're trying to decide what they should do. And you know what's funny? What's great about this? People take it so seriously. And then I do send them the CD of it, and they go crazy.
What's your favorite song on Village Green Preservation Society by the Kinks?
Oh,
there's one that I really like, but I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, wait a minute. What was the one? Not Supersonic Rocket Ship, because that's not on. No. Victoria is on there?
No.
Victoria's not on there.
No, we'll have Victoria.
We'll take that instead, yeah. good choice.
I love Victoria. Can't get enough of that.
A very tasty filling.
Can't get enough of that.
Cool. That can be the pickle.
Yeah.
That's the pickle. A little, never mind.
Cool.
And okay, but wait. No, what's the bread?
I Predict a Riot.
Okay, I Predict a Riot.
Take my temperature.
No, because he wants to play something new, doesn't he?
I didn't say
point.
I had to.
No, he's only had one exclusive, which is Everyday Living Less and Less. Oh My God. That's the next single in England.
Okay, so I Predict a Riot, Oh My God.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Is that a good choice?
I think so.
I think that's
this is the part where we say cheers and we say thank you.
No, thank you very much.
Good day.